it's an important discussion that we're having today.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. No, but the reason is because, I know,
there are many issues
the
related
incoming
to it.
Parliament is not, like, how does it
has
work?
To do with income, has to do with, but maybe, well, so that I'm not the only one to speak.
If I may, it's happening in many parliaments in Europe, but if I'm just wondering if it's something that you found that is helping to fight corruption or the other way around, because it's measurable.
Corruption is not the only issue here. Mm-hmm. And this is the main discussion that we're having today about our transparency laws that we are discussing in the committee. If we support an exclusivity for the members of parliament, what happens when the member of parliament ceases to be a member of parliament? Mm-hmm. And who would be interested in being a member of parliament? Because if you have a successful career and you earn a lot of money in the private sector,
yeah, why would you wanna...
why should you be a member of parliament, and why should you lose your income, lose your job in becoming a member of parliament? And when you end your term, what you would you do if we don't have any kind of support for the member of parliament after the term has ended? And so the difficulty is between, I think, two issues: more transparency, and you know what this member of parliament is doing, not also in the parliament, but also in his private life, or the exclusivity that is discussed mainly from the left parties. One of the main issues is who would be interested in being a member of parliament if you have a law that forbids some activities to be held by the member of parliament, because in Portugal, what we are convinced is that only public officials or party professionals would be in politics, and if we close the participation of certain areas of society in public life, we're all going to lose that aspect of democracy that is important. And if we see the different groups in the parliament of different parties, we can see that, for instance, the communists are mainly members of their party and professionals. They are paid from their party, so they are a very strong structure that, of course, for them is simple to say exclusivity should be the rule for all the members of parliament. If we have parties that have a very large part of the member of parliament are public officials, and we have parties that have that structure, of course you can discuss if exclusivity should be or not a good rule. But we have parties like my party that we are mainly from the private sector. We are in the right wing. We want to have the possibility to attract people from the private sector into politics. And if you create a rule that you have, if you're a lawyer, you can't be a lawyer. If you're an accountant, you can't be an accountant. If you're a doctor, you can't be a doctor. And what happens in a doctor if he stays in parliament for 4 years or for 8 years? What happens? He loses touches with his perfection. He ceases to be a doctor. He can't treat patients if he stops being in his profession. And so our struggle here is to be more transparent. If I may say, sometimes when we talk about corruption, we have very good laws. We have the declarations are mandatory. If you don't make the declaration, you lose your seat. You lose office if you're a public official. But how many have lost since the 80s? Because we can have good laws, but if you don't have the right means to
enforcement,
to enforcement of course it's very difficult to be effective. About the lobby, of course there's lobby. There's lobbying being made in Portugal. Of course there is. But we have some members of parliament, that they refuse ideologically that the lobby should be accepted. So they don't want to rule about the some reality that is out there. And I think that all of us lose if you don't create rules that are transparent. Of course, there have always been gifts to members of government, members of parliament, but if you don't create strict rules and enforce them, of course, sometimes we have some members of government, they have to resign their seats because the public outcry about their some gift that was given to them leads to a prosecution by the Attorney General. And sometimes about these discussions, we have, if I may use this metaphor, if we have an elephant in the middle of the room, and we are shooting the ants around the elephant with a shotgun, and we kill everything around, but the elephant is still there. And about the questions about transparency, I think sometimes we need to sit and think. And I think our special committees to discuss transparency, it's a good step in that way. And I think that we hope that we can have a good legislation after we end this work in the committee.
Thank you for your explanations. Was it interesting?
It's very interesting. Yes, it's because there is always a dilemma of. You mentioned something that is crucial. We have to attract the best people in the country to politics. We need a political everywhere. We need a political system that is based on rational decision makers who could be real leaders and have the strength and the courage to sometimes stand and tell the public what should be done, and not only look at the polls and see where the wind is blowing and then make decisions. So we need strong and courageous and powerful people who can make the best decisions and work with the public and for the public. And so you want to attract the best people, and you want to attract private sector people who are experienced in various fields, and of course. And on the other hand, you want to prevent foreign interests from entering parliament. Now, on the question of lobbyists, in Israel we have a regulation on lobbyists for the past few years. So we have a place to register lobbyists, and all of them have to work with a badge, so they are recognized.
It's like in the European Parliament.
Yes, but they are the registered lobbyists. What do you do about lawyers who are not registered lobbyists, and they work for several companies, sometimes companies with contradicting interests? Sometimes you have lawyers who work for the, medical organizations or companies, and at the same time for the cigarettes companies. they would be in contradiction in contradicting interest many, many times, actually, in front of parliament committees. So what do you do about them? And what do you do about lobbyists who work unofficially with public officials in the government? In Israel, I think today we have one of the most open and transparent parliaments in the world. However, we have a lot of challenges when it comes to the government, because public officials can sometimes be more powerful than certain politicians, elected politicians. But how do you track their decision-making process? Because the meetings in the public sector are not open like parliament committees.
In the US, for example, when the Obama administration increased the control over lobbyists and registry of people going to the West Wing and other places, what happened is they moved to the coffee shop outside across the street, and they started having informal meetings.
Sometimes the client of a lobbyist has to be sure that the lobbyist he hired is only representing his interest. And even for a client of a lobbyist, there is no guarantee that he cannot be simultaneously representing the tobacco company and the health NGO against smoking. You have no way of
having the discussion that you already had, and in our
that's clear. We don't have the same.
Talking about lobbying is to register the footprint of the lawmaking, and I think that's what we hope that our colleagues in Parliament in other parties has to contribute to our project.
We now have a new
the left, the parties to our left, the Communist Party and the Left Bloc. They have huge difficulties in accepting lobbying
because ideologically,
because they think once you have legislation on lobbying, you legitimize something that should be forbidden. You legitimize traffic of influence.
Companies. And companies to try to influence.
But the point is, they're already doing so. We're not creating anything that does not happen. We're just putting it, the spotlight on it. We're creating rules
to be more transparent.
To be more transparent and to bind them. And I think this is clearly an advantage, but they're not convinced. I think this is probably one aspect, although we have a coalition to our left. It's likely that if lobbying regulation passes, it will be...
We now have about this conflict of interest amongst lobbyists or lawyers, and I'm working on expanding the definition of what it means to be a lobbyist to other different kinds of getting involved in politics from a corporate point of view. So that would be sometimes lawyer, it could be even media advisors who work with advice to politicians and work for politicians, and at the same time advise for big corporations and could have conflict of interest. So what we're trying to do now is to just prevent the conflict of interest. So if somebody is representing the tobacco companies, they can't represent at the same time the health NGOs in front of Parliament. And I think the other thing that I learned is that the more you open politics to the public carefully, you get better results on fighting corruption, sometimes even without actually legislating. I am for representative politics. I don't think that we need to move into some kind of direct politics. But I'm trying to do as much, to open up as much as possible Parliament discussions. So we're making the civil society part of the discussion. Or when it comes to political financing, I founded my campaign only with very, very small donations of 50 shekels, which would be less than 10 euros. So only through the internet, everybody could donate, and this was the donation and financing. It's forbidden.
Yes.
Why?
Because it's not transparent. It's not traceable.
Why? Everything is registered. All of them, all of their names are published.
Yes, on the register. Because you have to be registered, and you can hardly use a bank check or
a transfer
to track the money. Because
but you can see who made the transfer. Yeah, but then if a company uses illegally its workers to donate money, I mean, one of the workers will talk. It's very hard to do these kind of illegal acts when you have so many people involved.
Out of proportion, we ended up not having this possibility. It has to be through a bank transfer or through a check. And, for example, we tried to do crowdfunding at a certain point.
That's what I'm talking about,
yeah,
crowdfunding.
We tried crowdfunding for a campaign in Lisbon. 4 years ago,
mm-hmm.
It was very limited. But we went through hell with the audit office, with the watchdog, on how to register. Because people, although the advantage of a crowdfunding platform is exactly that it's quick and that you have a direct contact. The problem was, in order for them to be valid, they had to then go through the whole bureaucratic thing of doing the registry, signing them up, sending us the receipt. And otherwise, they would not have accepted. And we went through negotiations with the entity responsible for the accounts, and they only accepted the crowdfunding as a platform for communication and not actually as the means to do the fundraising itself, because all the rest of the information, detailed, et cetera, had
if
to be
you,
put forward.
If you study what is happening nowadays in corruption, you know that Bitcoin is using as a tool for business in the black market.
Really?
And drug. So it's very dangerous to allow these kinds of terrorism in politics. Because you can be receiving money for a drug lord from Colombia. So they are doing business nowadays with
Bitcoins.
there's a downside, because obviously there are genuinely massive amounts of people that want to contribute.
But that's always the discussion in transparency and corruption, is where you should end the prohibition and start the transparency
Yeah.
Because that the thing is forbidden.
under the radar.
And out of sight. I think it's more dangerous in this kind of issue. And I think that the fact of Carpens is a very, very difficult subject. I think the Portuguese model that is public funding, mainly public funding, has kept the
public funding means governmental funding. Not NGOs. And it gives you the funding for.
You have direct funding of the campaigns based on the results and the number of votes you got. And then depending on the number of elected MPs, another specific funding for the working of the parliamentary group and for the party, and you do this for all elections.
You said that the Communist Party, they pay salaries for the cities?
Many. Interesting, many of the Communist Party members of Parliament, their job is of a worker of the Communist Party.
Mm.
Okay.
In terms of being an active worker, they had professions before, but their job is being a worker of the Communist Party.
So they get money both from
and quite the opposite. They have a rule where you cannot earn more as a member of Parliament than you did as in your profession. So if you earn more, you give the difference to the party. And the other way around. If you earn less, in theory, you get compensated. But
so the
revolutionary tax.
The logic is,
they're not here, so this is not
the
important.
The
it is.
They share.
They get the money and then they distribute the districts with salaries for the workers.
I think just to sum it up, I think the crowdsourcing and campaign financing is very good because it makes people involved. There is a high level of involvement. Even if a person donates 10 euros, for a person to donate money for politics, that's quite a big step. And then it makes them feel like they're part and that they should be, like, they should have their the people who they send to represent them should actually be accountable. So it's increasing. And in every example where and there are dilemmas always about transparency, but in every example when I try to get more people to participate, it proved to have more advantages than disadvantages. Also in terms of making legislation smarter and getting people involved in improving legislation offers. In many cases, when I try to legislate something that was, and I'm sitting in the opposition, so something that was almost impossible to pass because the government was opposing that, thanks to our ability to involve thousands of citizens in the process, this was enough pressure to be put on the government to pass the legislation eventually. So every time transparency and higher participation and higher trust are always interlinked, and it always proved helpful. But really, thank you. You gave me a lot to think about. And I'll be happy to see you in the Transparency Committee in Israel.
I don't talk so much because I'm the president. The president don't talk.
But thank you very much for making.
Thank you so much.
It was a pleasure. We are here if you want something. Okay.
Thank you, and really feel welcome. I'll be very happy to host you in the Israeli Parliament. I'm going to speak at the Web Summit.
Web Summit. Okay.
About how technology can change politics.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have you been to Israel?
Yes,
one time.
It's fantastic. Yes, I have to return with my family.
Thank you very much.
Whoops. After I send you a... with my contacts, okay?
Thank you so much.